Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today is a man whose pocket squares cost more than your house. He is the former host of this Sharp 600 podcast, and you can catch him on Daily Wager. Say hello to Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe, great to have you on the show.
Rob, it's my pleasure, man. Thanks so much for the invite. It's interesting to be on the other side of this interview, given where I was a couple years ago, but you're holding it down. You're doing a great job, and I look forward to talking with you here.
Yes, and I appreciate this time from you, and I wanted to start with the transition from you to me, because let me tell you, when I took over from Joe, there was a lot of unhappy fans who, in the iTunes reviews, said, this guy is terrible, bring back Joe, so I guess I have to thank you for setting such a high bar for things.
You know, we're all creatures of habit. I went through something very similar when I moved to San Francisco in 2014 to join the morning show on 95.7 The Game. I remember we came on, and for like a year, all we heard on the text line and on social media was, get rid of these guys, bring back X. Get rid of these guys, bring back Y. And it's funny because I did that job for about 6 years and I left. And the guys who took over for me when I went to ESPN, they reached out at one point and they're like, dude, every day everyone's bashing us and asking for you to come back. And I'm like, that's kind of how the cycle works. We're creatures of habit. We don't like change, especially when it surprises us. But then, you know, someone like yourself steps in, you work hard, you do a nice job, and people, you know, you grow on them like a fungus, as I'd like to say. You grow on them like a fungus.
And I very much like to think of it as a community mindset. I'm creating a new community of people that we're in this together. I'm not trying to replace Joe. I'm just trying to say, hey, here's a sports betting opinion or a community that you can be a part of, because we all get down together. We have different voices, but I want to do it in a way that inspires, educates, and entertains.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, what we're here for something like this, for the things I do, we're here to serve the listener. We're here to serve the viewer. We want to be able to, in some way, shape, or form, entertain them, like you said, enlighten them, educate them, help them, maybe make them laugh along the way. That's the gig here. So if you're able to provide those sort of attributes to your listeners, they're going to be very thankful for it, I'm sure.
So with this in mind, I want to talk a little bit about your Daily Wager experience, because I believe it's a great resource for the sports betting community. As someone who has a TV on ESPN or sports all the time, boom, finally we've got an outlet where we can get that sports betting information that we're looking for. And I'm curious how that changed your process, if anything at all, knowing that it's so picks heavy in a good way, but that's sort of a little bit different than a podcast in the expectation that a viewer or listener may have, as opposed to listening to something like the Sharp 600.
It moves fast. It's a fast paced show and it covers a wide variety of topics. So when I was doing the Sharp 600, it was a shorter podcast. You know, the goal was to be 10 minutes or so. They'd stretch out a little bit because I like the ability to go in a little bit more depth with some of the guys you'd bring on for interviews. They were providing such great insight. I didn't want to cut them off. I'd rather cut off what I was saying and give them more time. So it was, you know, it was short, brevity, but ultimately you could have a conversation. And it was mostly, depending on the time of year, focused on very specific things. You know, football season, if an episode came out on Monday, we're talking Monday Night Football and maybe opening lines. You know, if the episode's coming out Thursday or Friday, we're talking college football, we're talking pro football. When you're doing Daily Wager, it's an hour long. You know, it's every single day. You have a lot of great people involved in it, and you're flying around the sports world trying to cover everything. And with the way the pandemic has rearranged some of the schedules, you know, we had a show last week, Thursday and Friday, where we were hitting baseball futures and baseball action that day because of the trade deadline and everything. We were talking college football and pro football because it's right around the corner, and there were injuries and Prescott's hurt and all that stuff. So you're focusing on that. What does that mean for futures? Carson Wentz, you know, NBA free agency's in full swing. You've got the Olympics. You're looking around and you're thinking, my God, we are hitting on every single topic. So with the Sharp 600, we were a little bit more focused on maybe one or two sports at a time. This will be a little bit more wide ranging. So you've got to pay attention to more. And you've also got to be able to get the best possible information across to the listener in a digestible way as fast as possible, because the show has great pace. That's one of the things I really enjoy. I'm not going to get set up for a game and give you 3.5 minutes on why I like it. I might have 30 seconds. So I've got to give you the absolute best information. And sometimes that can be challenging because you could have a few great nuggets, but are those great handicapping nuggets, or might those be great trends that don't necessarily help the listener as much as they should? You know, some of the stats can be entertainment-based stats, and then some of them can really help you with the game. And with baseball, you want to look at the lefty-righty splits, things of that nature, versus something where, oh, you know, so-and-so has won 22 of their last 26 games at this location. Well, if 25 of those games have happened outside of this year, how much does that help us, right? So it's the best information in the tightest, most engaging package as possible.
I'm curious how your daily sports betting process and mindset has evolved knowing this. Like, can you give us some insight? What does a day look like for you in terms of preparation? Because I'm very big into mindset and sharing process with others, because that's a lot more repeatable than us giving a pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. And I think people need to be focused on that more than anything else, because if you have a great process, a proven process, the long-term process, and it works, that's okay if you're going to go through a few weeks where you're going to be down, right? Because like they say, it's very cliche now, but trust the process, right? Meanwhile, you can fall ass backwards into some good luck and have a great month stretch, but is that going to be sustainable long-term? So for me, each day starts, it has nothing really, well, it kind of has something to do with betting. It has to do with my entire life, but I started this recently and it's been very helpful. If I normally would wake up at say, let's say 6 a.m., I'm now getting up an hour earlier than I used to. And that hour is dedicated to two things. The first half hour is 30 minutes of exercise. So I'm generally jumping on the bike or going for a run or whatever, but 30 minutes of exercise followed by 30 minutes of meditation. And I know what people think. They hear meditation, you're in a room, you're chanting. That's not how I do meditation, right? We're around screens all day long, TV screens, computer screens, iPad screens, iPhone screens. We have information flying at us at an alarming rate. It can be helpful, but at times you got to step away. So I just come into a room in my house and it's very quiet. My kids aren't up yet. My wife isn't up yet. I'm just done with the workout. So I've got a great feeling physically. And I just sit there and I breathe. That's it. I just focus on the breathing. And I do that for about 10 minutes. And then for a few minutes, I have a notepad that's kind of it's what I call an appreciation journal. I just write down three things that I'm grateful for. And people might think that's heavy, like, oh, the love of my kids. Well, yeah, that could be in there. But I could also put something in there like, you know, rock solid bullpens. That's actually something I put in this morning because I had a good bullpen a situation last night that helped me in a bet. And I thought to myself, you know, that's something I'm grateful for. And you're going to do this every day and you don't want to write the same things down. So you reflect upon those things for a few minutes. Maybe you have a laugh, but it keeps you present. It puts you in a positive frame of mind. And after an hour of working yourself physically and mentally to start the day, I'm in such a great place that I don't feel like I'm going to be chasing. I don't feel like I'm going to be too high on any wins I've had. I don't feel like I'm going to be too low on any losses. This stuff really helps, especially when you're going through a tough time, because you know how that can be with sports betting. You look at the board and everything looks like it's in Chinese, right? You can't figure it out. You're doubting yourself. You're doubting your picks. You start to work through your process. And then you say, you know what? I should just go the opposite way and fade myself right now. I'm so bad, but you can't do that. You got to keep those thoughts out of your mind. And starting your day in a way that puts you in a spot where you're present, you're grateful, you're thinking a little bit more big picture, it helps you as you work through all the information, not just in betting, but in life, your job, your family, your kids. So that would be one thing that I would share that I would say has really helped me just get off to a great start and start each day with a nice, clean, positive slate.
I believe this will go down as one of the most valuable things ever said on this podcast, because I'm completely about that life. And the way that I describe this as self-cultivation and creating my being, what do I need to do every single day to show up as the best version of myself? And you nailed it. We've never been in a time ever in the history of the world with more noise and attention thrown at us. So therefore, it is so important for us to create space for ourselves to be able to think and create who we are every single day. And there's a quote that I love. success leaves breadcrumbs. So if this is something that Joe does, and this is something that I do, and if you're someone who's never meditated before, I get it. I used to think everything was woo-woo. It is not. Check out the Headspace app, or I've got a Peloton. Peloton has a program within there to do guided meditation. I promise you, it is a game changer. It's invisible. And if you think about yourself like a almost like a business athlete, these are the same things that the people we're betting on a daily basis are doing to turn themselves into the best version of themselves.
Buddhist monks have a saying, if you can control your breathing, you can control your emotions, right? So I like to do 4 seconds inhale, 4 seconds hold, 4 seconds exhale, 4 seconds hold, right? And if you're doing that and you're counting, it's not going to leave a lot of room for all types of thoughts to creep into your mind. So I'm very big on what you're speaking to as well. And in addition to that, I don't think a lot of people realize how much power and how useful a weapon the walk is, just going for a walk. And I'm not talking about going for a walk, staring at your phone, playing with Twitter. Go for a walk. If you want to listen to some music, fine. If you want to listen, you know, I'll listen to podcasts. Walks can be a great time to catch up on some of the podcasts I love, or listening to books on tape, things like that. But just go for a walk, clear your mind. You get the heart rate up a little bit. You know, you're moving, you're thinking, you can really work through some stuff, right? It's about getting your mind to, I heard this term once, I can't remember who it's from, but getting your mind to inbox zero, clearing out all those emails, clearing out everything in your mind, and just getting back to zero so that you can move forward and make good decisions. Because ultimately, that's what this is about. Each day, making good decisions, not just in betting, but in your life. Should I eat this? Should I leave at this time? Should I schedule this? Should I agree to this? Should I talk to my children like this, or should I address this, right? Should I teach them this or show them that? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be good decision makers, and you need a clear mind in order to operate at maximum efficiency when it comes to decision making.
Change your environment and you will change your emotions. And you're seeing how Joe and I both have process, not just for sports betting, but for our everyday life. And that process is what allows us to show up and be winners. So Joe, as we get you out of this, let's talk about NFL real quick. I'm curious, from a looking ahead this season in the post-COVID impact, are you expecting fans in the stands to have a greater impact on things, meaning 3 points back for home field? Will we see an uptick or downtick in scoring because there's more noise on everything?
Great question. And we saw last year that road teams had more success than we've seen in quite some time. I think that there were certain teams that were impacted more profoundly with the loss of fans than others. And one that stands out to me, and one that I'm very high on this year, is the Minnesota Vikings, right? If you go back and you look at the Vikings, the crowd can really have an impact when it comes to red zone defense. I think that's one of the best ways to quantify it. Teams get down to the red zone, it gets very loud down there because you got the fans on both sides, but directly in front of you as well. A lot of pressure, a lot of noise, tough to communicate. And Minnesota 2 years ago was 6-2 at home, and they struggled a little bit on the road. That's where you saw them, even though they were a playoff team. NFC divisional round against the 49ers is when they got knocked out, but they did beat the Saints the week before that. They were a very great home team. And then on the road, that's where you saw their struggles, even though they were still good. Last year, they were 3-5 at home, 3-5 with no fans. Like, that's one of the teams that really depends upon a loud fan base. And I think with the additions they made on defense to go along with what's already a top five offense, this is going to be a very good team this year. Remember, they finished third place in the division, which means they get a third place schedule. Minnesota's a team I'm high on to challenge Green Bay to win the division. I like them in all props to make the playoffs. I like their win total over 9, especially, which is what I saw. I think some 8.5s opened up. So that would be one of the teams I would look at. But yes, I do think there's going to be an impact there. With the scoring, here's where it's interesting, right? Like, overs were cashing like crazy early on to start the year. I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought offenses were going to come together late because there was no preseason. I thought defenses were going to have the edge. I couldn't have been more wrong. I really couldn't have. And it took me a little while to get off that, so I paid the price for it, but it was a valuable lesson. So now we got to ask ourselves, is it going to be as high scoring again? Well, on one hand, no. Fans back in the stands, tougher for offenses to communicate. Teams might not be moving as fast down the field, taking more time to set their offenses up, especially when they're on the road. But number two, the officials are not flagging the way we've seen in the past. Like last year, studying some of this, when it came to defensive penalties, you saw a lot of that stuff, right? The ticky-tack 5 yards, the pass interference. The game is being set up for offenses to thrive. So my ultimate premise is going to be this. I'm going to lean a little bit more towards unders early, but I'm going to be very cautious because I think the crowd's going to have an impact. And I think some of these numbers might be ticked up a bit based on what we saw last year, but I'm not going nuts because the officiating supports the offenses and I don't want to bite off more I can chew early in the season.
Last question. What is the impact of Carson Wentz's injury? He's out 5 to 12 weeks. We're recording this on Tuesday, August 3rd right now. I'm curious because a lot of people were high on this Colts team, but maybe not feeling as comfortable if Jacob Eason is there for numerous weeks as opposed to Carson Wentz.
Well, first off, if you want, we can stretch this out a few more minutes. I don't have to go anywhere right away. So if you want to talk about some more, I'm happy to hang out with you, Rob. I appreciate the time. Number two, to answer your question more directly on Carson Wentz, I was a very big fan of the Colts coming into the season. So now I have to pump the brakes dramatically. I like their win total over. I like them to win the division. I like them to go to the playoffs. I've had AFC futures on them and I had Super Bowl futures on them. So right now I'm not feeling very good about that, obviously, because first of all, it worries me that the prognosis is like 5 to 12 weeks. That's a really wide ranging prognosis for when he's going to return. And even when he's healthy and he does return, there's no guarantees he's going to stay healthy. That's the knock. Like, I knew the risk playing them at 25-1 coming into the season. I knew the risk. The risk, the defense is solid. The coaching is solid. The front office is solid. The O-line is solid. The weapons are there. Wentz can play well, quote, when he's healthy. And I knew what that risk was. The health of Carson Wentz was going to be the concern. And I got bit early on that. So even when he does come back, there's no guarantees he stays healthy. If you look at the first 5 games of the season, it's not going to be easy. They're hosting Seattle, and they've got Tennessee in week 3. They've got a lot of big games. Conversely, if you look at Tennessee's first 5 games, and I'm bringing Tennessee up because I really only think it's a 2-horse race in the AFC South. Not exactly an earth revelation on that one, but I don't think Houston and Jacksonville are going to contend like many do. Tennessee's going to open up as a favorite in 4 of their first 5. They host Arizona, and then they're at Seattle where they're going to be a dog, probably about 3.5. Then they're going to host Indy, where they should be a favorite. And then they're at, and I'm not sure the order. I think it's at Jets, at Jaguars, or at Jaguars, at Jets. And they're going to be a field goal favorite in both those games. If they come out of that stretch 4-1 with a win over Indianapolis, meaning they'd have the tiebreaker, and Indy goes 2-3, that division could be close to a wrap at the start of October. Now, Tennessee's next 5 games are much harder, and Indy's next 5 games are much easier. But that's a tough hole to climb out of early in the season. So ultimately, what I did was yesterday, before a lot of this news, I saw this at Caesars, Tennessee was -115 to win the division. I bought some of that. I wasn't high on him originally, but given the Wentz situation, and now that Quentin Nelson's hurt too, I bought some Tennessee. It jumped up to like -135. It might be higher now, just to make sure that I don't end up getting totally burned if the Titans win the division and the Colts struggle. So that's where I'm at right now. But the Wentz stuff is very bad news for Colts fans.
If you wanted to try and take advantage of a potential Colts will be better in the second half type betting mindset, how would you do so if you're a better? Because when I looked at the schedule for the Colts without Wentz, I was like, they could legitimately go 0-5. And then here comes the 1-5, 2-5, 3-5. Oh, here comes those Colts. And what can we as bettors do if we at least have some foresight that things could be rough at the beginning, but they could turn things around later? How do you best capitalize off of that other than just a game-by-game basis?
Well, I would say kind of what we were already just talking about is where they're going to be at the end of 5 games. Because I think Tennessee is going to be in good shape. The Colts could be in bad shape. But the next 5 games for the Colts are winnable. And if Wentz is healthy and the Colts are in good shape, that's where you could strike. Essentially, it's buying the dip. That could be where the price is the lowest. You come in there. I don't know if you would play him to win the division based on the way things would be set up, but look around the rest of the AFC, especially for the fringe teams that we think might contend. What's Cleveland going to do? What's Pittsburgh going to do? What are the Chargers and Raiders going to do? What's going to happen with Miami and the Patriots in the East? And if those teams are showing some weaknesses, or more of those teams have shown some weaknesses, more so than we expected through the first 5 weeks, then you'd want to strike on the Colts. because they could have a great 5-week stretch after that, put themselves right back into contention. Maybe they grab a wild card if they can't get the division. And if they're healthy at the right time, they could be one of those teams that makes some noise in January and February. That's what I'd be looking at right now. I wouldn't be buying Indianapolis at the moment, at least until we have more information. The Quentin Nelson injury, I mean, he's one of the best offensive linemen in football. So if he's got the same thing that Wentz has, and those guys are going to be out at least a month, I'd wait, give it a month. And if you like the Colts, by the end of that first month, there might be some really good buy opportunities for you.
Speaking of buy opportunities, looking at week one, Joe, you've got so much experience in the sports betting world. We're all excited for NFL action to finally be there. Week one is an opportunity because we're going to learn some things, or you can try and be ahead of a market. I'm curious what your mindset is specifically for week one. Where are you looking for value? How are you trying to see things that others don't? Because from the experience I've seen over the years, there's an adjustment that slowly happens by the books, but sometimes those first few weeks, you can catch on to something before everybody else does.
My first piece of advice, and I learned this the hard way, maybe 10, 12 years ago, living here in Vegas. My first piece of advice, don't overextend yourself in week one. Just don't do it. We're all so excited that football is back. And we go nuts. We've got our fantasy teams. We've got our daily fantasy teams. We've got our survivor pools. We've got morning bets, afternoon bets, parlays, teasers, all this stuff. And it's easy to just keep firing. And then eventually you look around. And if you have a bad weekend to open the season, it's not a death sentence, but no one wants that mindset. No one wants to be deep in the hole after week one, already chasing. It's okay to lose. You end up losing. That's fine. But don't bite off more than you can chew. I did that like 10 years ago. I set myself up so poorly mentally. I had this awful week one. I chased hardcore in week two, and I was really pressing on the research, and I got buried again in week two, and I ended up taking like a month off before I made another football bet. I had jeopardized my bankroll. I had jeopardized my process, my mindset. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess, but I learned from it. That's the one thing I always try to impart upon everyone. You know, the professionals, they have their method. They're not going to listen to this and be like, I'm sharing anything revolutionary. But for those who are into this recreationally that are trying to learn, just ease into the hot tub. All right. Ease in. Don't overextend yourself. Now, outside of that, you know, I try to pick my spots in week one. And a few spots that I like that stand up right now are twofold. Number one, the Niners are laying somewhere around a touchdown at Detroit. I think Detroit is going to be very bad. I think the Niners are going to be good. I'm isolating Detroit's team total in that game. I think the Lions team total is going to be somewhere around 19.5 or 20 points. I don't think they get there. I'm going to play the under in that situation. Here's why. The Niners are going to have one of the better defenses in the league. They had one of the best defenses 2 years ago. Last year, they were ravaged by injuries. If they're healthy this year, it should be a very solid unit. So that's number one. Number two, I think the Niners are going to be a good team that are probably going to go with Garoppolo to start the season. He's an effective quarterback. He can make good decisions. And Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball. And if you're running the ball, you're keeping it away from the other offense and you're grinding the clock. And in addition to that, I think Detroit in general is going to stink this year. It's not a knock so much about Dan Campbell. I know a lot of people are making jokes about the new head coach. I think Jared Goff's terrible. I really do. I think it tells you everything you need to know that if you have a quarterback on your roster that you went to a Super Bowl with and you won a ton of games with, and you had no problem running him out of town, I think Sean McVay told us everything we need to know about Jared Goff. And I think McVay and that system and that play calling and coaching and talent bailed Goff out of a lot of jams. And I think he has none of that in Detroit. I don't think he has the coaching. I don't think he has the supporting cast. I don't think he has the play calling. I think he's really going to struggle processing information. And I think Detroit's going to struggle to move the ball. So Detroit's team total under is going to be a bet I'm making in week one. I'm also for Sunday night football, since we're all going to be chasing there or looking to double down, I'm going to look to play the under in the Rams Bears game. And I'll probably play the Bears team total under as well. Whether it's Dalton or Fields makes no difference. You're going to be on the road. It's a new system for either quarterback because neither was with the Bears last year. You're playing a great Rams defense. McVay, just like Shanahan, wants to run the ball, wants to play keep away. I think that's going to be a lower scoring game. I play the under in that game as well. So all the way around, I like the under in the game. I like the Bears team total under. The Rams are going to set up to be a very popular 6-point teaser play, because I think they're going to be laying 7. So everyone's going to close out their teasers, knocking that down to 1. I agree with that. I'll be doing that as well. Very popular, but those are some of the angles I'd be looking to exploit in week 1.
Joe, I now know why you are so popular and why everyone who used to listen to the Sharp 600 was like, bring back Joe. He is so amazing, because you are absolutely fantastic. Thank you for your time. Where can everybody connect with you?
So on Twitter, at Joe Fortenball, like the old days, still there. And then check us out. Daily Wager is 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2, Monday through Friday. And we're going to have a Sunday morning show at 9 a.m. Eastern once football's back. Tyler Foljam and I do a digital show on ESPN Plus. It's called Bet Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus and all the streaming sites. You can just go to ESPN's Twitter handle or Facebook page and they'll stream it. You can catch it for free. We're actually going to be adding a Saturday morning and Sunday morning show this football season to get you ready for college and pro. So those are some of the things I'm up to right now.
And Joe, so you know, Daily Wager is DVR status for me, because I have to catch it every single day. Love what you guys have. And I want to hear from you. Who is one team you're higher on this year than most? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy, and make sure to also tag at Covers. And remember, you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rub. Looking like